How's everyone doing tonight? You guys good? We just finished up a series called A New You, and we did four parts of that. We went through Isaiah chapter 28, and part of our conclusion, we looked at a lot of things, but part of our conclusion was that we need to have disciplines in our life to get where we want to be. You guys remember that? Last week, we came away with, thank you, Nathan, you're awesome. Our big takeaway last week was, what I do today is what I will be tomorrow. You guys remember that? What I do today is what I will be tomorrow. And we talked about how when we do something on a daily basis, regularly, that's becomes part of us. It becomes our DNA. You know, you hear people say you are what you eat, and some people look like a Big Mac, and you know, it's we have these experiences in our life. You know, some of us, you know, we look like we got big bags under our eyes because we don't get enough sleep. I mean, it just shows. It comes out in what we do. So, I was gonna move on and go to our next series, but I thought about it, and my wife mentioned this to me. She says, "I wish you would have spent a little more time talking about the disciplines." Talking about the hows and the whys, and really kind of driving home how to get this stuff done, why it's so important. And so I kind of took that to heart, and that's where I've been in my life, is in the spiritual disciplines. It's like a scary word. But so I want to spend a couple of weeks, 2-3 weeks maybe, just going over the spiritual disciplines and talking about what they are, how do we use these in our life, and how can they help us. So we said what we'd do today is what we would be tomorrow, but spiritual disciplines are vital because when the storms of life hit, we need to be exercised and prepared to handle them. We need to have the exercise and the ability in our heart and in our spirit to handle whatever life sends our way, whatever storms come into our path. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 28, and we kind of left it at that, but I really want to give you guys more. I want to give you guys some of the inside scoop, some of the more in-depth stuff, go a little bit deeper in this. How many of you have ever played with a water hose? Okay. Everybody here? Megan, did you? You have? Okay. I was like, oh my gosh, you're so sheltered. But no, we've all played with a water hose because playing with a water hose is darn fun, isn't it? It's like, I mean, it's so cool because you can flood ant villages. You can kill bugs. You could spray your sister. Like, you could do so many things with the water hose. You can make rainbows. Like, there's just so much fun. And I don't know what it is, but just like the endless flow of water is just like awesome. It's a blast to a young child and even some of us that are older. We get to play with that hose. It's just cool. But you've probably learned that a little bit about physics. Playing with the hose is bad for the water bill, but it's good for your physics lessons. Because you learn about water flow. And if you've ever held a hose and tried to spray somebody by just going like this, it doesn't do much, right? Because the water just kind of comes and just drops down. Even if the pressure is pretty good, the water just kind of just falls down in front of you. But if you take it, you put a nozzle on that hose, then when you point it at someone, you can hit somebody from like across the yard, right? I mean, it shoots a lot farther. You can change it and you can make it go fan out and do the shower and everything else. You could direct the path because you have this nozzle on. And that's what it is. If you take the nozzle and you attach it, you can spray with focus and accuracy. Spiritual disciplines are like a nozzle for our lives. They are. These spiritual disciplines that I want to talk about, they're like a nozzle for your life. And if you would apply them and you would put them on and you would work in them and carry them, then it would focus you. It would allow you to be intensely focused on what really matters to you. It would. So many times we just spend our day. How many of you have ever had a day that went by and you're like, oh my gosh, I didn't do anything. Like, this day was like a total waste. You've had that experience before? I've totally had that experience where like I binge on like Netflix. Do we have any Netflix bingers? Anybody? Okay, you're shaking your head. You're not admitting. You like binge on Netflix or like on DVDs, or you watch like maybe your DVR. You just watch like episode after episode of Grey's Anatomy, probably for Nathan. But it's like, and you just like binge, and then you like wake up and it's like 8 o'clock at night, and you're like, it's time to go to bed. And my head is just like, you know, and we have these days, and it's like, I have no focus. It's too easy to waste a whole day. or whole week without connecting with God or without doing the things that we really want to do to grow us and get us to the next level in our spiritual life, academic life, professional life, any area of our life. A spiritual discipline is an intentional practice of some aspect of Christian life. That's our definition. A spiritual discipline is an intentional practice of some aspect of your Christian life. Okay? And so they could be different for other people, but there's some basic ones that I'm going to walk through. And it helps you to focus on God. And really, this is the secret to growth in your life. This is the secret to growth in your life. You guys should absolutely come to Oasis every week. This is great that you come here and you hear the teaching and you hear the truth. But honestly, that's not enough. That's part of it. Coming together corporately for worship and to hear the truth, or guidance, as some people call the spiritual discipline, is only one of the disciplines. It's like if you were to go and eat only once a week, you know? Maybe if you had a baby and you started to feed that baby and you only fed that baby once a week, it would be bad for the baby, right? It would not be good because the baby's not strong enough to be able to handle that. And it's the same thing. In our life, the spiritual disciplines, you need to be fed on a daily basis. You need to exercise the spiritual disciplines on a daily basis so you have focus and intensity in your life. So tonight we're going to start with a story from 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, if you have your Bible. If not, Jason will put it up on the screen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we're going to start in verse number 1. 2 Chronicles 20, verse number 1. Jace might not be up there, so I'll go ahead and read it. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1, it says, "After this, the Moabites and the Ammonites, and with them some of the Meunites, came against Jehoshaphat for battle. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, 'A great multitude is coming against you from Edom, from beyond the sea. And behold, they are in Hazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi.' Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah assembled to seek help from the Lord. From all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord." All right, let's stop there. So here's what's going down. Jehoshaphat is the king of Judah. Okay, the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, have been broken into two different kingdoms. There's the kingdom of Israel, there's the kingdom of Judah. So we're talking about the kingdom of Judah right now. Jehoshaphat is king of the kingdom of Judah, and three armies are coming at them. Not one army. It's bad enough you got one army coming at you. Not two armies, that's pretty bad too, but three armies have all decided they're taking Jehoshaphat down. They're coming at Judah to take it over. That's pretty bad news. How many of you ever woke up on a Monday morning and got like a text or a Twitter or Facebook and it's like, three armies are on their way to your house, and you're like, oh crap, what do I do? You know, that would stink, right? That's not cool. Well, this is what Jehoshaphat had. You know, they looked at their satellite photos or whatever, and they saw these guys, these three armies are coming. They got messengers, and they see. So what does Jehoshaphat do? Obviously, they can't fight all three armies at the same time. So we just die. Everybody have a party. We're going to die tomorrow. No, that's not what he did. What he did is he decided to seek the Lord. And what it says in verse number 3, it says, "Then Jehoshaphat was afraid and set his face to seek the Lord." This is the first thing I want to talk about in the spiritual discipline we're going to be talking about tonight. It's all about seeking God. Jehoshaphat knew he needed God. Spiritual disciplines are a way of inviting the abundance of God into our lives and focusing our attention on God and saying, "God, I want you in my life. I want to know you deeper, and I want you to be in my life. Not just as some like thing that I think about every once in a while, but I want you to be an integral part of who I am." So it says, Jehoshaphat was afraid in verse 3, and he set his face to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Okay, now, notice this, he says that he sought God's face. He wasn't demanding. And what we're going to be talking about is fasting, okay? Everyone's like a collective groan. Oh, not fasting. Oh my gosh, I don't even know what fasting is, but it sounds bad. Fasting, he says, we're going to seek God because we need to know him and we want to invite him into this situation, three armies coming. It wasn't to manipulate God and to kind of get your way. It wasn't to trick God into doing what he wanted. He said, we need to seek God. So that was the first thing he said. Jehoshaphat set himself to seek the Lord before the fast. The fast was to seek God, not to demand something from him or to persuade God. How many of you have ever called your parents and asked for money? Some of you guys. Yeah, okay. How many of you have ever been a parent and got called and asked for money? Pastor Joe in the back, I know he has. You been a parent and got called for the money from your kids? Hey, Dad. You know? And it's like, that's not a cool situation. What if the only time you call mom or dad is like, hey, Dad. And dad says, how much? Right? It's not hello. It's not what's going on. It's not how school is. How much this time? Right? It's that kind of situation. Some of us treat God that way, though. Some of us treat our parents that way. But you can't really treat God that way and say, you know, some of us, we want to go to God only when we need something. It's like, God, there's a serious situation. Please help. And then I'll leave you alone for like weeks. We don't even have to speak anymore. It'll be awesome. No, it's not awesome. It's not awesome for God. That's not what God wants. That's not what he has for you or for me. God wants us to know him intimately on a regular daily basis. So these spiritual disciplines, and fasting is one of these, that shows God that we mean business all the time, not just some of the time. Because we can fast and we can pray even when we don't need some huge thing in our life. It's an exercise, it's a discipline. Practicing spiritual disciplines regularly as a habitual part of your life prevents this from happening between you and God, this whole like, hey, I need your help, God. So, let's talk about fasting. Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, if you can find that one. Ezekiel, it's nowhere near Ezekiel. 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles. Ezra, it's right after 2 Chronicles. Ezra chapter 8. And we're going to look at verse 21. This is what it says. It says, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before God to seek him, to seek from him a safe journey for ourselves, our children, and all our goods. Okay? So, first thing we see here in Ezra is they're declaring a fast and they're humbling themselves before God. So what is a fast? First, you want to seek God before you start fasting. The second thing you want to do is be humble. A fast is meant to make you humble, to humble yourself before God. And so we humble ourselves before God. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but here's another thing. Esther chapter 4. Let me read through these. Esther chapter 4. I'm just going to cover a couple situations and then we'll hit them all together. Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs. Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm just going to use Esther 4:16. If you have your phone or iPad or something, it's a whole lot easier to find this stuff. Esther 4, verse 16. And this is what's going on here. It says, Esther is the queen, and she says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast in like manner. And so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Now what's going on there in Esther is, Esther had a situation where someone was passing a law that was going to have all the Jews killed. And she was the king's wife. But she couldn't just like go in and see the king, because anybody who approached the king without being invited could get their head chopped off. It's not a cool thing, right? And so she needs to approach the king and ask him this favor of not killing her and all her people. So she asks everyone, her whole nation, to fast for 3 days before she goes in to see the king, to strengthen her. So she humbles herself and she strengthens herself. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, it says, yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. It says, return with a fast. If you guys have spiritual problems going on in your life, something that's bothering you right now, a fast is a great way to kind of jumpstart that process of walking back to God, of getting back to God and returning. Fast is literally means it's deny yourself, deny myself the privilege of eating, to focus on everything I am on God. And when I'm hungry, I'll pray. I mean, that's basically it. You deny yourself the privilege of eating so that you can focus everything on God. Fasting is a way that we can show what we know. Remember we talked about that a couple weeks ago? We said, you don't know it until you show it. Some of us kind of, yeah, I know how to pray. But if you don't pray, you don't really know pray. Okay? Some of you say, yeah, I've heard about fasting and that whole fasting thing. This sounds interesting, Ron, but it's not for me. You don't know it until you show it. This is something we exercise in our lives. We can do our part of the work of spiritual growth in our lives. Okay? So, how do we do this? Well, God often uses one person to declare a fast. And in the first story we looked at, Jehoshaphat was the guy. He says, we're all going to fast. Esther said, we're all going to fast. And Joel, it was Joel. He said, hey, we're all going to fast. Actually, in Joel, it was God that said, declared a fast. And in Ezra, it was Ezra, the prophet, that said, we need to fast. And usually more than one person fasts together. Okay? In the scripture, a lot of times it was more than one person. They would all kind of get together and fast because going alone is difficult. In Ecclesiastes, it says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no one to lift him up. If you fast together with someone else, then you can encourage each other and you can lift each other up. And when you get like hungry, you can call some, hey, I really want a Big Mac right now. Really feel like I'm going to die. Help me out. Pray with me. It's a cool situation. Now, it's okay to fast alone. In fact, Jesus fasted alone. Moses fasted alone. There's other accounts of people who fasted alone too, but it's just a lot more difficult. And it's more powerful when you have others that are doing it together with you. And you're all focused on praying for one thing or one situation. It's pretty cool. So what's the procedure for fasting? As far as time goes, there's not like one determined time in the Bible where they say this is how much you have to fast. But it does say a lot of times that it's 3 days long. Okay, that seems to be one that happens a lot. We just read in Esther where she said, she please all of you, fast for 3 days. So 3 days it seems to be a pretty common time. Jesus and Moses both fasted for 40 days. That's a long time with no food or water. If that's serious, I don't know that I'm... Moses was in the presence of Almighty God, like getting the Ten Commandments, so I'm thinking he was getting some sustenance there. And Jesus was Jesus. So that's a long time to be going without food or water. But the point is to humble yourself. It's not to flaunt it and say, look at me, I'm fasting. Okay, I don't want to hear about any fasting parties. You know, like, hey guys, let's all get together and come over and fast party. No, it's not like that. It's a way to humble ourselves. It's not to cheat and say, oh, I've been fasting for 30 years, you know, or anything like that. And meanwhile, in the background, you're like, oh, you know. It's not that kind of situation. It should be uncomfortable. It should be uncomfortable when you fast. In our culture, food is kind of a sign of wealth and status. We go out to eat. We invite people, hey, you want to go out to eat? And for you to kind of turn that down sometimes, you feel like, oh, I must be poor or broke, right? A lot of us all we're saying, no, I can't go out to eat. I'm broke, right? And it's like this like humbling kind of like, oh man, I wish I could. I just don't have any money, you know? Or if someone offers you food and you're like, no, I'm good. I'm not hungry. There's like this kind of social thing where you're like turning down what they've offered. It's kind of a humbling experience in some way. And it kind of, everybody's in the kitchen. Everybody's in the dining room and they're all having dinner and you're fasting alone in your room. It's a situation. It takes you outside of the chaos. It takes you outside of all the stuff going on, the festivities, so that you can get together with God. In fact, in Joel chapter 2, verse 12 and 13, it says, yet even now, saith Jehovah, turn ye unto me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto Jehovah your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. It's supposed to hurt. He describes it as rending our hearts. In the Old Testament, when they would have a particular time of emotional just depression or turmoil and they wanted to seek God, they would rip their clothes off, would rend their clothes and like pour ashes on their head. Okay? I've never done that. But this, what it's talking about here is rending your heart. And when you fast, it's a way to say, God, I am so serious about you. I'm so serious about this issue, this thing in my life, that I'm willing to go without food. I'm willing to deny my physical self that hamburger, that meal, that lunch, that salad, so that I can pray and focus on you. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. So some of the specifics. There's different kinds of fasts. You could do a total fast where you're like fasting, no food, no drink. I've not done one of those before. I think I may have done like a day or like during the day and then maybe eight at night or just one 24-hour period like that. I don't even know if I've done that where I did like no water and no food. That's pretty extreme. There's Daniel 10 fast where you have just fruits and vegetables. You can read about it in Daniel chapter 10 where he ate no sweets. He ate only fruits and vegetables and things like that. And so you're kind of saying no to pizza and like you're like, I'm going to go eat an apple, you know. That's one way to fast. There's full fast, partial fast. A lot of times I'll do a liquid fast where maybe I only have juice, water. I'll allow myself coffee, tea, maybe even some soup, but I won't eat any solid food. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 and 5, I'll read that for you real quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 4 and 5. And I don't know how much this applies to a lot of you guys tonight, but it's good to know. 7, 4 through 5, it says, "For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement, for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." Now, what he's talking about here is sex. And he's saying, in marriage, between a husband and a wife, even at times, you could fast from sex. And you could say, okay, we're going to agree for a time to not engage in physical intimacy so that we can pray and focus on God. And that's an agreed upon time. It's not like one person says, I'm fasting, you know. But it's an agreed upon thing, and it's for the purpose of spiritual focus, okay? It's not to lord it over someone. That's for married people, though. So if you're single and your boyfriend or your girlfriend comes to you and says, hey, I think we should fast from sex for a while so that we can pray, you just need to go ahead and dump that person. Because they're messing up your spiritual life, okay? You don't need to be engaging in that before you're married because it's going to hurt. Sex always goes farther than physical. It goes emotional and spiritual too. And we've talked about that before. So if that's a situation, I encourage you to just kind of walk away from that person. If you're a Christian, if you're not a Christian, then, you know, that's, you probably think I'm an idiot anyways. But so another thing, fasting sometimes comes along with staying up or watching, okay? So maybe some people will fast from sleep. They'll say, I'm going to stay up all night and pray. That's hard. I don't think I could do that anymore because I'm old and I just like would totally fall asleep. But sometimes you get up in the middle of the night, you wake up and you don't go back to bed. You just stay up and you pray and spend time with God. That's pretty cool. I've done other kinds of fasts. I fasted from social media before. No Facebook, no Twitter. Just turn that stuff off for a week or so or something. Maybe from video games or the computer or TV. Say, I'm going to turn off all the screens. I'm going to turn off the TV. I'm going to turn off everything for a week so that I can focus on God because I spend so much time just pouring that into my head all day long. Anything that causes pain and makes you focus and focuses you on God is a good thing to fast about. So what kind of results would you expect from a fast? Well, in the story of Daniel and the lion's den, Daniel got thrown into the lion's den because he broke a law that people made up that said he couldn't read his Bible and pray, and so he read his Bible and prayed and ended up in the lion's den. Well, he fasted before he went in the lion's den, and the lions didn't eat him. Pretty cool, right? Esther, spoiler alert, she goes into the king, and the king doesn't kill her. The king instead kills the guy who was trying to kill her. She did that after a fast. The nation of Nineveh, in the story of Jonah, they were all saved. because they fasted and turned their hearts towards God and received him in their life. In our story of Jehoshaphat, they fast, they pray, the whole people come together, and then they go out to battle. And what do? They sing, they play guitar, they play the lute, they play instruments, and they sing worship songs. And somehow, God magically confuses the armies. You got three armies coming together. And the armies start attacking each other. And Jehoshaphat and his crew, they're singing, they're worshiping. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. And these guys just start like throwing spears at each other and stabbing each other until all the other armies died and killed each other off without any of Jehoshaphat's army and his people having to lift one sword. And this happened after a fast. Fasting is powerful. Fasting is a way that you could say, I did my all. It gives you the satisfaction of knowing that you did everything that a man or a woman could do. Sometimes we face problems in our life that are just way bigger than humanity can handle, bigger than you or me can like throw our resources at. And we go to God, God help. Well, what else are you gonna do about it? Fasting is a way that you can kind of put yourself on the line and say, I got some skin in the game. I got some skin in the game. Fasting gives you the satisfaction of looking for and finding God's will and his plan for your life and the strength to do something that maybe you would not have the ability to do, like Esther walking into the king. That's a pretty big thing. It gives you courage and bravery to face a particular challenge. Esther was ready to die even after fasting. So here's some basic questions. You guys are probably wondering, is it dangerous to just like stop eating, right? A lot of people think if you fast, if you stop eating, it'll make you sick or weak. You'll be like, oh, like, ooh, I haven't eaten in 2 days. Or you'll get sick, you know, like we see on National Geographic, and your stomach will bloat up and everything. That's like extreme malnourishment and hunger. Fasting does not do that. Many medical studies actually have shown that fasting has all sorts of medical benefits. It really does. Fasting is pretty awesome. For one, it helps you get rid of the toxins out of your body. Your body stores toxins in the fat, okay? And so when we fast, some of the fat that we've stored up that has our energy in it, we have to use that. Our body is like, well, we've been saving this for a while, so we're gonna go ahead and use that, you know? And so it pulls in the fat and the stuff that we have stored, and it breaks it down so that we can use it for energy. And at the same time, it's pulling the toxins out of that, and your body is getting rid of that stuff. And it's actually really good for you. It cleans those things out of you. Much energy is freed because your body's not doing all that digestive processing. It doesn't have to work on that crazy meal you had at lunchtime and then like turn around and now it's time for snacks and then now it's time for dinner and then oh it's a bedtime snack and then oh it's a morning and we're gonna eat the nasty cereal and like I'm with you, okay, I live it. And we're like it doesn't have to worry about all that. And so all of the energy that it was using to do digestion, it can focus on the body's natural healing and send it to other places. And doctors and studies have shown this. In fact, when you get sick, do you know why you're not hungry? Well, because I'll throw up. Well, yeah, but that's your body saying, I don't have time to digest this stuff right now. I need to focus on healing everything else. And so it says, please don't jam anything in my mouth. We're good right now. And so fasting is a way that you can kind of help the body with its own natural healing. It's very good for you. It's natural and healthy practice, and we probably all eat too much anyways. It's a great way to lose weight. It really is. If you want to lose some weight, it's a great way to do that. So the final question, and I'll wrap it up with this, is what's at stake? Some of you guys are like, okay, fasting's interesting for the Old Testament, maybe for like super spiritual people. Like if I was like a super Christian, maybe like later, In my spiritual life, I might consider that. But what's at stake? In the Bible, the biggest victories were won after someone fasted or a group of people fasted. The greatest victories, the greatest stories, the greatest armies defeated, they were all won after someone fasted. And it made me think, and I asked this question. What victory is God holding back in your life until you can handle it? What victory is God holding back in your life? What blessing is he waiting to pour on you because you can't handle it yet? Because our talent can take us a lot farther than our character can sustain us. It really can. Our ability sometimes can get us into a position where we're in just deep enough to drown or to get in trouble or to mess up. And the spiritual disciplines are all about focusing, about building muscle. We don't lift weights so that someday we can lift something heavy. You know? You never know when I might have to lift something heavy, so I'm going to lift weights every day. No, we don't do that. We do that so that our physique will be where we want it to be, so that we will be strong, so that we'll be capable of running and doing the things. And I say we, but I don't lift weights. Okay, so full disclosure here. I don't go to the gym like I should. But it's the same thing with fasting, with these spiritual disciplines. We do these things so that we grow our spiritual part of us and we become stronger spiritually. So that when a temptation comes along, we're like, forget that. I'm stronger than that. I'm stronger than that. I can push through that. When the storm comes that would wreck people's lives, we're strong enough to stand in it. And for some of you, you have a victory in your life. You have something that you're praying about that God hasn't fixed or dealt with. You're looking for guidance in some area. You need an answer to something. And you've prayed, and that's cool. And you come to church, and that's awesome. Those are all good things. But God still hasn't given you that answer. He still hasn't helped you. Perhaps fasting. And I don't know. Are you going to leave it on the table and say, well, I don't want to take a chance on getting that prayer answered, on getting that victory in my life, on seeing this kind of victory that we saw in the Old Testament, on seeing the power of God kind of poured out in my life by showing God outwardly that I mean business, beyond just like carrying my Bible and putting YouVersion on my phone and coming to church, by actually doing something that says, this is going to hurt me a little bit. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be humbling. But I'm going to do this because I mean business. Maybe in your relationship, or your job, your finances, or your wisdom, or influence, God is just kind of holding something back because you can't handle it yet. By exercising regularly the spiritual discipline of fasting, you show God that you're serious about following him. And I want you guys to know I practice what I preach. I'm not just asking you to do something that I don't do myself, and I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything like that, but since Wednesday, I've been on a fast. So since Wednesday, and I got sick Wednesday, like crazy sick, but I haven't eaten. I started Wednesday morning, and I haven't eaten like full-on meals since then. Wednesday, I think I had a yogurt and a Fiber One bar, and then the next day I had a yogurt and a Fiber One bar, and then the next day I had like a yogurt and a cup of soup, and then today I've had just water and juice and tea. And so it's something that I practice myself as well. And I'm okay, I'm not dying, right? I don't look like I'm gonna kill over or anything. And so I want you guys to try this. I really do. And I know some of you have medical concerns or things like that you gotta worry about, like your food, but that's where you can do a liquid diet. Or you could do a Daniel 10 diet where you do like just food, like fruits and vegetables. There's all sorts of other options. Or maybe social media or something like that you really love, or TV. Like, and I'm not going to ask you guys to fast through the Super Bowl because that's pretty tough. But I'm going to fast through this next Wednesday. So I'm going to do a full week. And then Thursday, I'm going to come off the fast. And so I would invite you guys, if you're willing, to fast with me Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Now, you don't have to do all 3 days. Maybe you just do one. Maybe you say, I'll do Monday, I'll do Tuesday, I'll do Wednesday. Or maybe you will do all three. Pick a day, pick all 3 days, and say, I'm going to fast. And here's why I'm fasting. I'm fasting for Oasis, for our Saturday night service, that we would grow, that we would invite our friends, that we would... Because this is awesome. I love coming here on Saturdays, and I think it's such a wonderful place, and I love being here with you guys, and I want more people to experience that. I want more people to experience what God's doing here. So I'm fasting for that, and I'm also fasting for the Center of Hope, which is a crisis pregnancy center in town. And I'm on the board there, We've had to make some tough financial decisions lately. And I'm fasting that God will give us wisdom, that God will give us guidance, that God will continue to grow that place and bless that place so that we can be on the front lines of providing hope to people who are in a situation where they've messed up, they've made a wrong choice, and most of society would kind of kick them in the teeth and say, you're an idiot. We want to be there to give them a hug and say, come in, we'll take care of you, we'll help you. We will totally help you through this situation. And so if you'd like to join me, maybe you have other things, personal things in your life that you want to pray about, that you want to deal with, that you really want to seek God about, and you want a victory, and you want to show God you mean business, then join me. Start Monday morning. Say, hey, I'm going to fast. I'm going to try this and see what it does for you. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray that you would be with us. You are so awesome. You are wonderful. You are sustaining. You are life-giving. You breathed into Adam the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And it is you, Lord. Colossians says that by you all things exist, that you hold the universe together just by who you are. And we trust you. We trust you with our church. We trust you with our relationships, with our families, with our situation. Lord, tonight I give that over to you. And I invite each person here to agree with me and give that over to you. Lord, we pray that you would hear our prayer. Pray for each person here tonight as they've heard about fasting, maybe even for the first time. It might be freaking them out. Lord, I pray that they would try it. They would give it a chance in their life. They would give it a shot to seek you, to get serious about seeking you. Every once in a while, to just say, I'm going to fast. I'm going to deny myself so that I can seek God. Lord, I pray that you would show up, that you would do something awesome, that you would hear us like you did Jehoshaphat, like you took care of Esther, like you took care of David, like you took care of the people of Nineveh, from the book of Ezra, from the book of Joel, real life people. You took care of Moses. You took care of your son, Jesus. We pray that you would take care of us, that you would hear us as we pray, as we fast. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, every week we take up an offering. We have a plate in the back. It's not a big thing that we're going to put it in front of your face or anything like that. But giving is one of the spiritual disciplines. It's how we exercise our giving muscle so that when God needs us to give, because the Bible says giving is better to give than to receive, that we could do that without freaking out and saying, it's mine. So I've had that problem in my life. And through giving, I've been able to learn to just let it go. Let it go. It's not, the stuff in my life is not as important as the people in my life. So we invite you to worship by giving. Just drop something in the plate on your way out. And that would be awesome. I'm sure God will bless you for that. So let's go ahead and close with a song. Nathan, you want to come on up? Lee, Megan, the whole crew? Let's sing a verse and chorus of Holy is the Lord.